Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about Mary, our mother. Talk about Mary, the mother of God. What a title. What does that mean? And why is it significant? I've been talking this week about what is the measure of true greatness and what is it that we ought to value? What is it that Jesus values and what is it that Jesus rewards? Jesus makes it clear in places like the Beatitudes or his whole Sermon on the Mount of what's truly valuable. And he turns pretty much everything on its head. He turns the world's standard of value on its head. And what he communicates to us is you get different glimpses in his teaching of who he is and who we are all meant to be like, to walk in his footsteps, to become little Christ, to be conformed to him. It's so exciting to think about. All of us long to be happy. You know, the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the pure in heart. It's like about happy are those. And it's not just an emotion, but it's something that's much deeper than that. It deals more with fulfillment and complete satisfaction and being aligned with your ultimate purpose and destiny and reaching your fulfillment. And so Jesus is concerned about that. And he's concerned about it because he knows that each one of us is made for a purpose and a design and that we come from the Father's heart, that God the Father made us as the crown of his creation. Jesus has come to restore clarity about what it means to be human, to restore to us our understanding, what ought to be our understanding of our fundamental purpose. And part of that means he wants to teach us what is truly valuable. So we value the right things. So we give the right kind of time and attention to what he values, and we allow the Holy Spirit to conform each one of us to the person of Jesus so that we actually from our hearts, from each one of us individually from the heart, we begin to be transformed from the inside out. And we move from the standards of this world and we no longer run after slavishly or desperately the recognition and the rewards of this world. We run after the kingdom to come. So Jesus kept underlining, for example, again, in the Beatitudes, what matters? Well, the kingdom matters. And even if your concern is about primarily about this world, he said, the meek will inherit the earth. Not the powerful, the dominant, the vengeful, the loudest, the most influential, but the meek, the gentle. Those who operate with strength under control, you know what I mean? It's strength being ordered in our life under charity, under love, walking with humility and compassion and kindness and gentleness toward people, as opposed to just rising up as the dominant one and exercising our lordship and our will and our power over other people. We see when our heart begins to change that life on earth is not a zero-sum game where he who dies with the most toys wins or something like that. You know, used to see that sticker on the back of cars on occasion. It's not a zero-sum game. We're all competing for a limited number of resources, and whoever gets the most resources, the most recognition, the most influence, the biggest and the best is the winner. And those who don't are losers. That's the valuation or the kind of valuation that's present in the world. It's almost the dominant one in some places. And we can get caught up in that vortex and that human energy driven by anxiety and fear many times to lay hold of that. And we go running headlong after what is essentially never going to satisfy us and by no means is the real measure of value and success. We're deceived. The enemy deceives us. Our flesh deceives it. Our fallen mind deceives us. A fallen world will lead us into deception. So it takes God's light to help us see what's truly valuable. And that light comes through faith, through hope, through love, through the theological virtues in particular, and the grace we're given to be able to see, to see in the Holy Spirit, look at Jesus. See that he's the one crowned King and Lord at the right hand of the Father. He's the one who's taken human flesh into eternal glory, not a passing reward and recognition on this earth. It's transformation inside out. It's being made an entirely new creature. And then, as I've been speaking this week about Our Lady, we're given Mary, along with the apostles and the saints and others, models of what it looks like when we begin to see, by God's grace, what's truly valuable, and then to go after it. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst for holiness, you're going to be filled. Holiness is Christ-likeness in a very simple way, right? If you hunger and thirst after it. In the world, people every day hunger and thirst for big success, maybe big finances, maybe big accomplishments. There's an energy there. And often it's driven by the flesh. It's not driven by the spirit. So human beings are dominated internally by the world of flesh and the devil at different levels and in different ways. I mean, I could feel it. I was in New York recently in Times Square, and the energy, you could just feel it pulsating through the place. Human ambition reaching its heights. It's an example of it. Am I saying that everybody there, you know, is disconnected from God or any true value of God? No, there's probably saints walking around the streets there that I know nothing about. So I'm not trying to make an overall judgment. I'm just saying when you're there, you can feel it. You can feel the energy of the world. It's not just an enthusiasm to be successful in some way. It's a drive that's often dominated by fear and anxiety and worry. So Jesus is saying, no, now come with me. Let me show you. If you repent, if you turn to me and be converted to my teaching and to following in my footsteps, I will give you a yoke. I'll give you something to carry, but my burden is light. It's not like the world. It's not like the enemy. Satan is a slavish taskmaster, and he's always heaping burdens on us, as is the world, and they crush us because it's kind of slavish drive. It's not living under the lordship of Jesus, it's living under the lordship of the enemy. And you remember that Jesus went right to the desert after he was baptized, and just as his ministry began, the devil made his play. He tried to get Jesus to come under his lordship. He said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. I got it in my hands. They're mine to give, and I'll give it all to you. You can be the number one of all time. You can be the number one success, power broker, popular, everything. You can have it on one condition: if you bow down and worship me. That's what he said. That's the Faustian bargain. That's the great temptation in this world. And it's a big lie. It all looks glorious and exciting and powerful and amazing. And I'd be at the center of it all. I'd be at the top of it all. And I'd be recognized and I'd be able to wield power and influence. That whole temptation, the system of lies, and what it would do, it would anybody who says yes to it will become a slave and will be absolutely crushed by it. Because the enemy ultimately wants to destroy and mock God's image in us. But Jesus turns all that power on its head, and he was free. Satan had no hold on him. The world had no hold on him. His flesh was not dominated by concupiscence. And from that freedom and from that clarity of mind and heart, Jesus showed us, taught us, gave us an example of what it means to walk with the burden of God, a yoke that is easy and light and not a slavish one that dominates and discourages and leads us to despair and, you know, revenge and hatred and addictions and the like. You can see why all that stuff's happening in our culture today. Who's carrying the burden of the Lord? And who's truly great? Going back to Our Lady. Just wanted to read a couple more paragraphs today, which I read some yesterday as well, from the Catechism, that describe the reality of what Jesus accomplished and God the Father accomplished in Mary, who is God's servant. She's the handmaid of the Lord. Mary's honored not because Mary is somehow divine or semi-divine or she's the one who saves us. No, we have one Savior. We have one Savior that's Jesus Christ. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's divine. He's God himself. Mary's not God. Mary's a creature, just like you and just like me. But she's an example of what Jesus wants to do in all of us. She's a disciple of her Son. She was uniquely united to him. Of course, in a way, no human being will ever be united to Jesus in the unique way she was. I mean, we will be united to Jesus and God in all its fullness, but as his mother, the one who gave him his DNA, Jesus shares in her flesh. That's really amazing. It's an amazing grace that's given to her. Really tremendous. Now, it's not as great a grace as being born again by water and the Spirit and being united to God and becoming a temple of God, and she'd be the first to say that. But the church honors her because she said yes to Jesus all the way through. And you can see that the greatest things happen. The greatest things are the things that have eternal value. And Mary said yes to something God intended, and she came to do the will of her Father like Jesus came to do the will of God the Father. And doing his will, she's not degraded, having to set aside her preferences and saying, I simply belong to another. I'm following him. I'm conformed to him. He's my happiness. He's my purpose for being. He tells me who I am. I receive my identity from him. This is my very dignity, is obedience and humility and having a poverty of spirit and a pure heart and a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Catechism says in paragraph 967 that Mary's talks about Mary in the order of grace. It says, by her complete adherence to the Father's will, to his Son's redemptive work, and to every prompting of the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary is the Church's model of faith and charity. Remember, the big things, faith, hope, and love that we've been given, the theological virtues, and they're the foundation of the whole of the life of Christ. Thus, she is the, quote, preeminent and wholly unique member of the Church. Indeed, she is the exemplary realization of the Church. In her life was realized what's meant to be realized in each one of our lives. Each one of us are destined to be able to live each day saying, thy will be done. Isn't that the prayer that Jesus taught each one of us in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, he said, pray this way from your heart every day, multiple times a day. Father, you're in heaven. Father, I want to honor your name. I want to hallow your name. I pray that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done. That's the heart that the Holy Spirit wants to give each and every one of us. And if it comes alive in us, and it comes from the inside out, it'll begin to change the way we live. And we will become a realization of the Father's purpose and plan. Just like Mary is the, in many ways, the exemplary realization, as the Catechism describes here. Her role in relation to the Church and to all humanity goes still further. In a wholly singular way, she cooperated by her obedience, faith, and hope, and burning charity in the Savior's work of restoring supernatural life to souls. For this reason, she's a mother to us in the order of grace. She was given that unique opportunity to work so intimately with her Son as Jesus poured out his grace for the salvation of the world. And she intercedes for us even now. So friends, let's look at Our Lady and see in her a model of where Jesus is leading in us. And then see in her the embodiment of the Beatitudes as she was conformed to the person of her Son, Jesus. If you want to know more about this program, friends, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. There's all kinds of good stuff on the website. Choices We Face television program, Sister Ann Shields program, Food for the Journey, newsletter articles, information about our upcoming pilgrimage, which I'll talk about more tomorrow. I hope you can join us for that. But until tomorrow, let's walk with our eyes set on the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks very candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. It's an inspiring booklet I think you will be encouraged and strengthened by. If you'd like it, you could call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or you can subscribe to our podcast.